Well, as I said earlier, we're beginning a new series, and the series is called Words from a Cross. And we're going to spend the next few weeks talking about the words that Jesus says when he's dying on the cross. He has seven phrases, seven words that he speaks, and we're going to spend the next weeks talking about those. But before we begin the series, I need to make something absolutely clear. What we find this morning is Jesus hanging on a cross, having been nailed to some boards, hung up in the air between heaven and earth, and it looks for all the world that this is a bad thing. But I want to be clear about something. This is not an accident that Jesus is there. It is not some weird twist of fate. It is not some overpowering evil that gets Jesus to this point. This is the exact reason Jesus came. This is why we celebrated Christmas just a few months ago. This is why Jesus entered into the world, for this very moment. And if that is the case, if this is the pinnacle of why he came, then the words he says as he's dying must also be very important to us. They must have meaning. They must have purpose. They are not just random. So we're going to spend the next weeks talking about these words from a cross. Today, our text is from Luke chapter 23. If you want to turn there with me, I'm on page 858 in the Blue Bible. Page 858. Luke chapter 23. Here's how Luke records it, beginning with verse 32. Two other men, both criminals, were also led out to be executed with him. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. So we're going to spend the next few moments talking about this phrase that Jesus prays over the crowd gathered there. Like I said, as he's hanging on a cross, bleeding, groaning, dying, these are the first words he says in words from a cross. He looks out at the crowd and says, "Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them." But I think he's not just looking at the assembled crowds of people there. He certainly is thinking about them. But I think he's also thinking about his disciples who just the night before ditched him at the first sign of trouble. I think he's thinking about those religious leaders who lied about him, who tricked the governor into crucifying Jesus. I think he's thinking about poor Pontius Pilate, who tries to wash himself of the guilt but can't. I think he's looking at these soldiers who are just doing their jobs and they nail him to a cross. I think he's looking at the thieves on either side of him, and I think he's looking at all of them and says, "Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them." But I am absolutely convinced that Jesus is not just looking at the gathered crowd. I'm convinced that Jesus is looking all the way back to a garden. And he's looking back to two people, Adam and Eve. And for whatever reason, pride, stupidity, disobedience, whatever it is, they choose to take fruit from a tree they've been told not to take from. And he's looking back at them and he says, "Father, forgive them." And he's looking at the people at the time of Noah's Ark, when the world has gone to hell in a handbasket. And he says, "Father, forgive them." I'm convinced he's looking at Moses huddled there on the side of the Jordan River, trying to urge the Israelites to follow God into the promised land. And they look at Moses and God and say, "Nah, I don't think we can do it." I'm convinced he's looking backward at all the failed prophets, all the things that went wrong in the Old Testament. And as he hangs there on the cross, looking over a crowd, he sees everything that has gone wrong, and he says, "Father, forgive them." But I am equally convinced that Jesus sees into the future. And he sees my life, and he sees your life, and he sees all that has gone wrong. He sees all that we have messed up. He sees all the shortcomings, heartbreak, all the things wrong in our lives. And he says, "Father, forgive them." But we have to come to real understanding here. It's not that Jesus is just praying that the Father would forgive us, that the Father would forgive Adam and Eve, that the Father would forgive the Roman soldiers. It's not just that he's praying about it. It is actually in this very moment, in this act, that God answers that prayer. The Bible tells us that we have received forgiveness of sins because of the blood of Jesus Christ. It is in his death and resurrection that all the mistakes, all the sins, all the stuff that's wrong in us has been taken away. So Jesus looks at your life. He looks at my life. He looks at the assembled crowd of mockers and soldiers and religious hypocrites. He looks at everybody, and all he can think of is, man, do these people need forgiveness? So he says, "Father, forgive them." But he goes on to another phrase. And honestly, as I've worked on this over the last couple of weeks, this might be one of the biggest understatements in all of the world. "Father, forgive them. They do not know what they are doing." He looks at the people gathered around him, at the soldiers who are just doing their jobs, at the religious leaders who think they're protecting God and doing the right thing. He looks at his disciples and thinks, well, at least they saved themselves. It made sense to them, I guess. He says, "Look, I look around and no one knows what they're doing. They don't know that this is the Son of God they've strung up in the air. They don't know who this is until Easter morning." He looks at their lives and he looks at my life. And the truth is, I can honestly say, for much of my life, I do not know what I am doing. I don't. I mean, there are times in my life when I think, how did I get here? What in the world? This is not anywhere where I meant to end up. This is not how I meant my life to look. This is not what I wanted to be doing right now. How did I end up here? I find myself like the youngest son in the prodigal son story. He takes his father's money and he's going out on his own path. He thinks he's got it figured out and ends up in a pigsty feeding pigs. And Luke says it this way: when he came to his senses, he looked around and said, "How did I get here? This is not what I had in mind." I think in many times in our lives, we find ourselves in places we never want to be. We're in broken relationships. We find ourselves angry. We find ourselves judged. We find ourselves judging. And we look around and say, "How did we get here?" Jesus says, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." It's true of me. I don't know what I'm doing. There are times at the end of a day that I know I go home and I have hurt people and I didn't even know it. There are times when they needed more of my time and I didn't give it to them and they walked away hurting. There are times when they needed someone to deeply care and I was too glib. They needed someone who would pause and take the time to pray with them and I didn't. They needed someone to just be kind, and I wasn't. Honestly, I often have no idea what I'm doing. and the damage I'm creating in the lives of people around me. And it's for that very moment that Jesus died. He looks out at my life, at your life, at the lives of these people and says, look, Father, forgive them. They just are ill-equipped to handle this life. They don't know what they're doing. But there's another side to that phrase, I'm convinced. There are actually times when we think we know what we're doing, and we don't. There are times when, let's just pick a Bible reference here. Judas. I think Judas thought he was doing the right thing. I think the religious leaders in Jesus' day thought they were doing the right thing, protecting God. I think Pontius Pilate thought he was doing the right thing by keeping peace in the realm. I think Peter, around a fire in the courtyard, thought he was doing the right thing. At least I'm saving my own skin. There are times when we think we're doing the right thing. We think we know what we're doing. But in reality, we still have no idea. You see, that's the hubris of humanity. That's the pride of humanity. We think we got it figured out. I'm going to ask you a couple questions. You can respond if you want to, but you don't have to. We're Lutheran. I get it. You don't have to talk back to me. All right? We talk about progress and the progress we've made in our world. Does anyone feel like we have progressed further than we used to be? No, I don't. We talk about wisdom and applying the worldly wisdom, and if we could apply it more or do it more wisely or whatever. Anybody in this room think we are wiser than we used to be? We think about taking control of things. That's my deal, okay? That's when I think I know what I'm doing, is I try to take control of stuff. I want to ask you this. Do you think we are more in control than we ever have been? Not a chance. Not a chance. So here's the thing. We sang it in the first song. When all else fades, your light remains. Here's the thing. For our best efforts, Jesus looks down from the cross, bleeding and dying, and says, Father, forgive them. They have no idea what they're doing. And so in this phrase, this first word from a cross, we're confronted with, I think, well, probably way more than that, but in my head, four things. We're confronted first and foremost that something has gone terribly wrong in the world. The Son of God is hanging on a cross. Something is out of whack in the world. You know it to be true as well as I do. Something's out of whack when 17 people lose their lives in a school in Florida. Something has gone terribly wrong. And these words from the cross leave us no choice but to face that fact. Father, forgive them. The second truth is this. We are what is wrong. Something has gone terribly wrong with the world, but I can tell you this. It's not the palm trees. It's not the seashore. It's not the majestic peaks. It's not even the deer or the javelina that have gone wrong. Something has gone wrong in this world, and it is us. It is us. And so when Jesus speaks this first word from a cross, he has real people in mind when he's saying it. He has you in mind, he has me in mind, and he says, Father, forgive them, because they're the problem. We are confronted with this in harsh realities, especially with the events of this past week. I've had numerous conversations with people about what happened in Florida. And almost always, the question comes back to me, because I'm supposed to know, The question comes back to me. So is this shooter? Is he going to be in heaven? The answer to that question is this. I don't know. But he can be. He can be. Because when Jesus was hanging on a cross, he saw this young man. And he knew the evil in his heart. And he said anyway, Father, forgive them. They do not know what they are doing. Now look, that is a hard reality. But it's a reality that for your sake and my sake better be true. Because if there is a line at which the grace of Jesus does not go past, where is that line? Is that line on a shooter? Is that line on a bigot? Is that line on someone who is judgmental of other cultures or other folks? Is that line on people who have been divorced? Is that line on people who've had an abortion? Is that line on people who voted Republican or Democrat? Where is the line? Because if there's a line, we will never know if the death of Jesus was for us. So you and I better hope and pray that the line is nowhere to be found, that the grace of God is big enough even for evil shooters. Now, here's what we ought to be praying. Well, let me back up. Let me calm down and back up. I'm not going to tell you what to pray. Let me tell you what I'm praying. I'm praying two things for this young man. I am praying that justice is served. I am praying for justice. But I am also praying that he comes to know how loved he is by Jesus Christ. Because that's the only way he'll get to heaven. And someone asked me, I don't know if I want to be in heaven with a guy like that. And someone very wise in my life answered them and said, when you get to heaven, you ain't going to care who else is there. Because you're going to be with Jesus. So the truth of that statement, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. It brings us to our knees that something is wrong and we are it. But here's the third thing that phrase spoken by Jesus, words from a cross, takes us to. Something has to be done. It can't keep going this way. And so Jesus himself takes your sin and mine, takes the evil in your heart and the evil in my heart, and he goes to a cross and he bleeds and he dies and he does it for us. Something must be done. And here's the fourth thing that I jumped to already. We can't do it. I don't care how hard we try. I don't care how many laws we enact. I don't care how much we try for self-discipline, positive thinking, all those things. It's not going to work. The only thing that endures forever is the grace of Jesus Christ. And so in words from a cross, we find ourselves in a broken, sinful world that requires forgiveness. But we find ourselves at the foot of a cross where Jesus comes to bring exactly what we need. Father, forgive them. They do not know what they are doing. Let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise today for Jesus. We thank you for those words from a cross. We thank you for blood shed. We thank you for guilt removed. We thank you for an empty cross, and today we thank you for an empty grave. That because Jesus is alive, we know that we win. So, Father, help us to rest in the truth that we are forgiven. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.